We'll talk about breast cancer this morning, about people who have advanced stages of breast cancer, as well as a approval from the FDA of a new treatment that may be of some help. We've got with us Dr. Denise Yardley, who is the principal investigator with the Sarah Cannon Research Institute, and also Iva Sampaio, a breast cancer, a two-time breast cancer survivor, and also an advocate, a patient advocate. Welcome to the program this morning. Let's talk, I guess, starting with the doctor. Dr. Yardley, talk about, I guess, maybe some of the different stages of breast cancer. You get diagnosed. There's different numbers applied to it. What do those mean to the patient?
So we look at breast cancer as early stage or advanced or metastatic stage. And so the early stage applies to stages 1 through 3. And what that means is with a combination of surgery and or radiation, chemotherapy, or antiestrogen therapy, those patients can be expected to be cured of their disease and be disease-free. But about a third of those, unfortunately, will later re-present with their disease recurring in a distant site, so liver, lung, or bone. And a small proportion of patients, actually, at the time of their initial diagnosis, when they're getting worked up, are determined to already have disease that spread to a distant site from their breast. And I think what the difference really is in terms of the treatments and what we tell patients is that in the advanced breast cancer patients, while we have a host of treatments like our new approval from the FDA in March of Kisqali, is that while we have treatments, we do not yet have a cure for advanced breast cancer.
But how does this treatment, obviously they're always looking for a cure, how does this new treatment differ from what has previously been done?
So it's a new treatment with an entirely new class of drugs to oncology, and that class of drug is known as the CDK4/6 inhibitors. And we've learned a lot about what makes tumors grow and how they can actually go and metastasize and go to other spots. And so this is a very specific new treatment based on the biology and life cycle of cancer cells that actually stops the cancer cells from entering the growth phase. And so the cancer cells are not able to multiply and grow and actually are stopped from entering even the growth phase of that cancer cell. It demonstrated in the clinical trial just a powerful benefit in the advanced breast cancer patients. And so in that trial, the standard therapy for a first-line advanced breast cancer patient was anti-estrogen therapy. This is approved for the hormone-positive tumors. And in the group that got the Kisqali added to their anti-estrogen therapy, we saw a doubling of the disease control time. And what that meant is with the anti-estrogen tablet therapy, it was about a year. And then the group that had their anti-estrogen therapy with Kisqali added had on average 2 years before their cancer cell might demonstrate some growth or a need for a new therapy. In addition, it's different from therapies today. It's not chemotherapy. It's a pill therapy. So the patients take this in the convenience of their home. They have an excellent quality of life. It's not associated with the hair loss and some of the other chemotherapy immune suppression features, and so they get a very durable benefit from this treatment, an excellent quality of life.
Ivis, did you understand all that? I know as somebody maybe who suddenly became told that they had breast cancer, you're a two-time survivor, there was a point probably when your brain couldn't comprehend a lot of this. Then you sort of become an advocate because you become your best advocate for survival. Tell me a little bit about your story that you got to where you are today.
Well, first, I did understand a lot of it because I just came back from the AACR conference, which was presenting on this particular study. And as a patient advocate, it's not just about speaking out for others. That's very important, but it's also becoming knowledgeable about what studies are out there about breast cancer, about the biology of cancer. And I've had the opportunity, I'm on the board of the National Breast Cancer Coalition, representing SHARE, and what I participated years ago was in their project lead, and there we learned the science. We studied as if though we were research students, and these were all patients of breast cancer. So it's a wonderful thing that they provide. So this gives us tools to learn and to want to understand more what is going on with the treatments that we may be a part of. But I think the idea of being able to participate in clinical trials is very, very important. The idea of being able to provide new treatments for women dealing with metastatic disease, it's quite important for them. It provides hope. These are women who, in many cases, are feeling isolated and alone, and we want to make sure that they're not alone, that we provide them support, education, and information through the organization that I work for, which is CHAIR, and other opportunities. My own story was I was 38 years old when I was finally diagnosed. I was misdiagnosed for almost 2 years. It was a total of 18 months. I had given birth to my son, and I had been complaining for 18 months to my OBGYN, who assumed because I had no known family history that it had nothing to do with breast cancer. But down the line, we found that I did have breast cancer, and that propelled me into becoming an advocate, not just for myself, but for others in the community. And being bilingual and bicultural, it allowed me to be able to provide this information both in English and Spanish. And when I heard about CHAIR, I was volunteering with the American Cancer Society and with the Komen Foundation. But when I heard about this organization that provides support, education, and advocacy, but peer-led, these are women who have gone through this disease, who've walked that road, who provide support and information to other women, I knew I wanted to be a part of that team. And I've been with them for 21 years now. And it's a wonderful organization. It's a focus. It's a real strong focus of CHAIR to provide support to women who have metastatic disease because, yes, women are dying of breast cancer. And it's important that when they're dealing with metastatic disease that we help them understand that they're not alone, that we will provide them support, that there are a lot of resources out there. But how important it is for them to feel that they're a part of this, and they are. You know, they become involved in many cases in clinical trials because they understand how important it is, not only to help themselves, but in many cases to help others.
How does a patient become involved in a clinical trial? What is sort of the process, and how long does that trial last? Or what can you tell us about that, doctor?
So the clinical trials are offered at a variety of centers throughout the United States. And so at this point, many patients don't even have to travel for clinical trials, but some patients may. There's a lot of information on the internet with regards to the clinical trials. But I always ask them to, you know, talk to their physician first as the most important resource to find out if the clinical trial is actually a right fit for the patient. And then, you know, if it is, they get screened for the trial, they consent for the trial, and they participate and they stay on the clinical trial as long as they're benefiting and not experiencing side effects and their disease maintains control, they always have the opportunity to come off the clinical trial at their request. And their disease is monitored throughout to be sure that the clinical trial is appropriate for their specific cancer.
When that takes place, are they living their normal life? Do they see their regular doctor as well? Or how is it in such a way at all disruptive of their life at that time?
Yeah, so for most of the patients, there's a clinical trial center in their community and maybe even with their physician that they're currently under the directed care of. So at our institution, you know, we have lots of clinical trials open and our own patient population get to participate. But I also have patients who have relationships with physicians or their physicians call and say, hey, I've got this patient in my office. This is a circumstance of her disease. Do you have a trial that might fit her needs? And we look through the menu and certainly say, you know, it's worth a patient coming in and can, you know, getting more information about whether they want to participate in that clinical trial and if they can, you know, get screened and are appropriate for that clinical trial. So there's a big outreach of, you know, physicians that may not have access but do the refer patients in. And then there are lots of centers of clinical trial excellence like the Sarah Cannon Research Institute.
Do these patients have a front-of-the-line use of these medicines afterwards, or does it come to an end and then it has to go through a whole other FDA process and they're kind of left put back on whatever regimen they had before?
So they'll stay on a clinical trial as long as that treatment is benefiting them. The patients usually come off of the clinical trial when that treatment is no longer appropriate. That is, their disease may lose sensitivity to that. And that drug may not yet be approved by the FDA. Sometimes trials end and they are continued on the drug because it is benefiting the patient between the time that agent may get their FDA approval. And so we've seen that. We've seen expanded access to being made available where drugs are not on a trial or going through the FDA process, and the various pharmaceutical companies are rolling out that drug through an expanded access for that interim time.
Where can people find out more about what we've talked about today related to the drugs or the trials, or just really if they suddenly get the word that they have diagnosed with breast cancer, you know, what's the next step?
So there's a variety of websites. AdvancedBreastCancerCommunity.org is one from the Sarah Cannon Research Institute. They can search Ask Sarah with an H and find some information. And then, as Ivis was talking about, the ShareCancerSupport.org are all good resources for advanced and early-stage breast cancer, about novel treatments, and about clinical trials.
Well, we appreciate both of your time this morning, Dr. Denise Yardley and also Ivis Sampaio, who's also with the Senior Director of SHARE. And we appreciate your telling the story and getting the word out this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.